I love the Proverbs because I'm learning them for the first time. The Proverbs are the most difficult thing I've ever tackled. They have a lot of double negatives in them. Now, people today, the popular writers say, never, never, never use a double negative. Well, that's just not true. There's lots of things when you use a double negative, it's much more effective, and that's what they used to use all the time in the times of the King James translation, and they also used it in the original language. So it has a lot of double negatives, and a double negative makes a positive. So that's why they're so hard to understand. Now, these are usurps from the Proverbs, and this is part two. Proverbs 1, 1 through 5. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, as far as knowledge is concerned, the Bible indicates that apart, of course, from Jesus Christ, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and God gave him that knowledge. And he imparted it to us in the book of Proverbs. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, a lot of words that are French, the first time you ever see them in school, and you've never heard them before, and you look at it, and the teacher says, pronounce that word for me. You'll say, rendezvous, rendezvous. Rendezvous. And she'll say, no, it's rendezvous. And you say, how on earth did you ever get rendezvous out of that? She says, it's a French word. Well, some of the words in here in the Proverbs are made even more difficult because this word that looks like subtlety is in other places, it's T-I-T-L-Y. It's subtly, and it means to the simple. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Modern subtlety is pronounced, this is the way the word appears today. This is the correct way today to spell it. This was the correct day back at the time Proverbs was written. And quite frankly, try to get subtlety out of that. And it's extremely difficult because the B is absolutely silent. The word is S-U-T-L-T, subtlety. So when we talk about subtlety, you're talking about when people, you hear them say, he's very subtle. That means he's a wiseacre. And most of the time, people that are subtle, you can't trust them any further than you can throw them. And when you're subtle about something, most of the time, it's not good. But sometimes, it is good. Now, the word can be used in a good or bad sense to give subtlety to the simple. Now, if you want an example of subtlety used properly, Forrest Gump. He appeared to be very simple. Appeared to be very simple. But he wasn't. He said a lot of things that were very subtle and showed that he had great wisdom. You may have said, well, that's the dumbest fellow I ever saw. But he said things and explained them, and he had a lot of subtlety to him. So that's good, because I really like that movie in that sense, because here's a guy that's a lot smarter than all the people around him. And yet most people would say, well, he wasn't all there. But he was a lot smarter than anybody else in the picture, except maybe his mother, who taught him wisdom and subtlety. The word can be used in a good or bad sense. To use it in ways to deceive or gain advantage is bad. That's a problem with most subtle people. They use it to deceive people, or to insult people, or to make little of people, and they do it to gain advantage. So they will elevate themselves and put other people down. So subtlety used correctly is a wonderful thing if you use it with wisdom. But if you don't, it's a put down and it's not good at all. And sometimes to use it in a good sense without wisdom is bad. Some people that use subtlety use it in a good sense, but they use it without wisdom. I mean, they're nice people and they use it without wisdom. Now, to give you an example of that, too much use of it, even in the good sense, often leads to bad results. Now, the word subtlety, this is the definition of it, and this is what it meant at the time that the King James translation was written. It's the quality or state of being subtle, thinness, fineness, or the subtlety of air or light, lightness, air or light. Now, it means all these things. And most of the time, it's used in a bad sense. But Solomon uses it in a good sense and tells you, if you have wisdom, you can be subtle and use it to make your point without hurting anybody's feelings, and they can gain and understand what you're saying and retain it if you'll use it that way. And this is why I never covered the Psalms before, because quite frankly, these Psalms have an awful lot of wisdom in them, and I'm not very wise. So it's been very hard for me to ferret out a lot of the different meanings in here. Wisdom is the proper use of what one learns in life by instruction, observation, or personal experience. Wisdom is the proper use of what one learns in life by instruction, observation, or personal experience. When I was in service and I was attending the University of Chicago, they used to drive us up there by bus. That school has more geniuses in it than MIT. The school is noted for that. And most of the geniuses, they have some type of a weird way about them or some type of a physical deformity. They are brilliant. I mean, they can tell you pi r square and cornbread are round. But they have no wisdom at all. And they don't even know how to apply subtlety. Sometimes a person can have great knowledge, great wisdom, great understanding, and be an educated fool. And you've heard that expression quite often. The first time I ever heard it was a man whose son had been going to school for 13 years. I said, is he going to school to be a doctor? This was down at the old house. And I don't know if Imogene's out here. It was down at the old house in Little Rock. He said, no. I said, is he going to school to be a lawyer? What's he going to school for? He said, he's just going to school. He said, he just barely got his major. He said, he just goes to school all the time. He said, that's all he does. I said, well, why? And he said it right out. He said, my son is an educated fool. And he says he knows that as long as I keep paying for it, he's going to school. And he said, I feed him and I clothe him and he goes to school. And he said, bluntly, I have raised an educated fool. An educated fool is somebody that has great knowledge, great understanding, but never does learn how to apply it. I know people that didn't finish the 6th, 7th grade. I know some that didn't finish the 4th grade that were much more adroit in life and much more able to make a living and to be personable and likable than some people that have PhDs, CODs, FOUs, COD, and IOBs in order of British Empire, OBE. It's because they have wisdom. And they know how to apply well what little accrual of knowledge they have. You want wisdom? Here it is. All this is a preliminary, more or less, going through here. But if you want wisdom, it's right here in Proverbs. Because God is the one who gave Solomon that wisdom. And I'll tell you, it's not easy to understand this. And I'll also warn you, I may goof this up, because I'm not a very wise person. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, maybe I'll learn a little bit about wisdom as I go through here, and maybe you'll learn a little bit, and it will have been worth our while. Wisdom is the proper use of what one learns in life by instruction, observational, or personal experience. Young men are living examples of it. They have the IQ of a genius. And this should be, they have the IQ of a genius and are full of knowledge. And yet are simple in wisdom. They have the IQ of a genius and they're full of knowledge. And yet they're simple in wisdom. When he goes on his first date, if he tells the girl, you sure don't sweat much for a big girl. He is very simple in wisdom and needs to be subtle. He needs to be subtle. Now, you don't have to lie. When I went with Imogene, I told her she was pretty. And I meant it. I didn't make the stupid mistake of saying I had gone with prettier girls. Now, oh, Lord, she's probably listening on this back there. So I'm not showing much wisdom. Like somebody else I know this morning that didn't show any wisdom. That was, Leroy, you better start coming every Sunday night because you need to get some wisdom. And the truth of the matter is, you can tell somebody, and you know, if you have a meal, you say, that was a good meal. Now, you don't have to lie. Maybe the only thing you like were the turnip greens. But they sure were good. Tell a woman that. A woman wants to be complimented on her cooking. Believe me, I know. I compliment Imogene all the time. And once in a great while, I lose my wisdom. I get stupid. I'll say, honey, these could have used a little more salt. She'll say, well, it tasted pretty good to me. Okay. She'll say, well, that's just you. And you know, and there I am. I say, oh, you stupid ignoramus. What have you done? You don't ever do that. Now, I've got a little bit of wisdom about women. You don't ever tell them the truth about certain things. They come out and they say, oh, those beans. Listen, you're talking to man's men. I'm talking about wisdom. And you fellas need it a lot more than the women because you don't know zip. And I didn't know zip till I went out on the road. And I got to understand women. And I like women. I love women. And I'm not making fun of them. They're great. But you have to use wisdom. Now, a woman will come out, and she'll have the meal all laid out. It looks like she's raided everybody's garden in the area, unloaded her ice box, and she's got food from one end of the table to the other. And she'll come out, and she'll say, oh, those potatoes just didn't turn out. They're too dry. They're just way too dry. Here's wisdom. Don't you dare agree with her. Don't you even for 1 minute say, yeah, they do look a little dry. Because I know some guys will do that. That's the way women work. And you're supposed to say, well, they don't look too dry to me. Until you bite one and it breaks off your front tooth. That's just what you do. That's the way women are. And it's natural instinct. I'm not being critical. And then they'll look over at the roast and they'll say, oh, I just was hoping that roast would be so tender and it's just as hard as an old brick. And all the time they know it's not as hard as a whole brick. And they're thinking, oh boy, when I finish that roast, that's one of the best I ever cooked. But they will not own up to it. And when I tell women this about themselves, some of them don't like it. They just show up and say, y'all start preaching the Bible. No, I ought to tell you the truth about wisdom and about learning to use it. If you've got any wisdom at all, and you think your wife is a wonderful cook, then don't brag on her for 6 days before you go home. And for Pete's sake, tell her at least 3 or 4 days in advance that you're bringing over some people at the office. Don't spring it on her overnight. You may be a great preacher, and you may have all kind of knowledge, but if you don't learn how to deal with women, and I'm not saying this to say, boy, you women are all mixed up. You women aren't all mixed up. It's us that are all mixed up. And you get in there and slave in a hot kitchen and fix all that stuff, and you just want it to people to eat it? Men don't think like that. I go out in the woods, and when I was in Vietnam, we just got stuff out, whatever we could get or kill, even a snake, and we'd cook the thing up. And you tell a man, oh, that's the awfulest mess I ever tasted in my life. He'll say, well, just don't eat it. And we wouldn't get mad. We just wouldn't eat it. Now, men do not think like women. And so one of the things about wisdom, when you go through this book of Proverbs, the Lord says an awful lot about that, and we need to think about it. And it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I've tried to talk to some women about some of these things and be honest with them, and they get mad as wet hens. Not very many. Usually only about 1 out of 100. But there's always that 1 out of 100 that doesn't think anybody should ever talk about this kind of stuff. Well, let me tell you what I told the guys in Vietnam. If you don't like it, you just preach to yourself. Because I'll talk to a person like that just like I talk to a male. Because they're just about as hard-headed. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Do you like yourself pretty much the way you are? Do you like the wisdom you have right now? You think you're a pretty wise person? You think that that you've got this pretty well figured out? You don't need to learn any more about wisdom, that I'm the one that needs to learn about it. Or this person over here, that person over there. You feel that way? How are you ever going to learn anything? Have you got as much wisdom as God? Can't have. And that's what this book of Proverbs is about. A wise man, a wise woman will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. I've learned a lot of things out of this book by wise counsel of other preachers. And when I find a preacher that I think is smarter than I am, I listen to everything he says. But if he doesn't have any wisdom, I can't get anything out of him anyway. And I try to learn. I try to learn in dealing with males, females, children, all sorts of people. A wise man will hear. Believe it or not, I do listen to what you say. And I may get tore up at first, but I hear. But don't you dare come around and jump all over me if I don't do what you said. Because I have God to contend with. And I try to do what I think God would have me to do. And when you suggest something to me or tell me we ought to do this or we ought to do that, believe me, I do think an awful lot about it. And then I try to find in Scripture and from God's Spirit what I'm supposed to do. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Do any of you think that you shouldn't do this? Any of you think that you don't need that? You do, and I do, and we all do. And the quicker we realize that, the better off we'll be. Learning is the accumulation of knowledge. It may be accumulated by reading, instruction, teaching, and by life experience of the accumulator or those he observes. Now, here's the distinction. Wisdom is knowing when and how to use the knowledge one has accumulated for an honest purpose to bring about something that pleases God. God is the only one who has perfect wisdom. If I can figure out from this book by what God says, which I know to be wisdom, and I can use that in such a way that it pleases God, then my life has been worthwhile. Learning is the accumulation of knowledge. It may be accumulated by reading, instruction, teaching, and by life experiences of the accumulator of those or those he observes. Now, you don't know who the man is, and so the Lord knows I'm not saying anything to judge the man personally. But I knew a preacher one time. Kenneth may remember. I heard about him at camp for years, and I'm not jealous of him or anything like that. They said, this man can quote more scriptures than any preacher in our work. And they kept saying that and saying that and saying that. Now, they said, now there's my idea of a preacher. Somebody that can quote just about the whole Bible. Well, I was impressed. I was very impressed. So I'll never forget the first time I heard him preach. He got up and he started off with something like, the wisdom is the beginning of the fear of God. He quoted the scriptures. And he quoted scriptures like, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I stand up here and quote quite a bit of scripture. But this guy put me to shame. I mean, he made me look like a dunce. But he never explained anything he preached. He just got up there and quoted scripture for 30 minutes and never did explain what it was he was talking about. And that is an accumulation of a tremendous amount of knowledge. But if you don't explain that to yourself and to people and apply it to your life, you don't have a lick of wisdom. Wisdom is something that God gives us that we don't have except by our experience in the world. You all like my preaching sometimes. I asked God, as you know, a long time ago. I was reading at Solomon, and Solomon asked him for three things. He asked for those three things because he wanted to properly be a good king. Well, I don't want to be a king, but I wanted to be a good preacher. And just about every night for years, when I go to bed, I ask God to give me wisdom and understanding and discernment. And I ask God to help me use it to give him honor and glory and not to draw attention to myself, because I'm real bad about that. You know what? God has done that. He's given me wisdom in the Scriptures to know when to preach, what to preach, and how to preach it. Do I ever make a mistake? Am I inspired? Oh, yeah, I make mistakes. But sometimes when I finish a message, I know inside here where I live that it was precisely what God wanted me to preach. And I feel wonderful because I had the privilege of doing that. I ask God before I come over here to help me and to lead me and to help me not make a mess and to stay on track of what He wants done, and He does. Do I ever get off track? Yeah, sometimes I get irritated about something or take a big dose of penicillin. And then you all might as well go home when I first come over here, because I'm not going to help you and you're not going to help me. But that's what life is about. And I've got the understanding and wisdom from God that He's given me, and discernment, that I understand a lot about Scripture that I never could have understood unless God had showed me. Proverbs 1, 5, and 6. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. How do I know that God's given me wisdom? When I was in the seminary, I used to think that I was doing wonderful, preaching wonderful messages. I misinterpreted an awful lot of Scripture. Probably still do once in a while, don't deny that. But when I started asking God to give me wisdom and understanding, this book just opened up to me. It just opened up to me. And I saw things that I had never seen before. And I understood things I had never understood before. So how can I glorify myself if God is the one who gave it to me? I can't. But I sure can praise His name. And I sure can tell you that He's the only one in this universe that knows what He's doing. And He's the only one who really cares for each one of us individually more than we could ever possibly imagine. And God gives us wisdom. You want wisdom? You want to understand the Scriptures? Ask for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. And believe it or not, if you want to use it for God's glory, He will show you what you need to know out of that book, and He will help you to understand everything you see on this screen. Have I ever preached a message in the morning? At the end of it, I knew part of it was what God wanted, but I wasn't sure about the other part, because it didn't go just exactly inside me like I thought it should. This morning, the message I preached this morning was precisely what God wanted me to preach. There is absolutely no question in my mind. That's exactly what He wanted me to preach. And as God led me, I knew it was precisely what He wanted me to say. Every word, no. But the generalities of it and the way He wanted it presented, I thank You, God. I thank You, Lord Jesus, from the depths of my soul, because I finished that and I walked out of here and I knew I'd done the right thing. Now I want to ask you a question. Were any of you offended by that message? Did some of you walk out of here and were you mad about it? Did it hurt your feelings? Were you critical of it? You should not have been. Other messages I've preached here, you have every right. But not the one this morning. Because the one this morning was from God personally to you. And it came from within me. And His Spirit led me every bit of the way. Does that happen all the time? No. But once in a while it does. So you ought to come down here, not because of me, but because, believe it or not, once in a while, God does use me, and I do preach what He wants. And if it's only once a year, you ought to come down here that once a year, because it's the best thing you'll ever hear, because it came straight out of the Bible. A wise man will never stop learning, and his learning should lead him to the understanding that many men have greater understanding in many areas of life than he possesses. I've learned that. He exercises wisdom in listening to their counsel, which has been built up over time prior to his or her birth. In order to understand a proverb given by God, one must accept that God is the ultimate in all wisdom. I want to know how God looks at something and how God deals with something and what God says I'm supposed to do as the pastor of this church. And where did that wisdom come from? From the one who's the giver of all wisdom. You need to look at this book of Proverbs. And if you don't understand it, go on to the next one. But when you can make an application of these Proverbs to your own life and quit trying to make the application to other people, then you'll get wisdom. Don't worry about them. They'll get wisdom if they want it from God. But if you use Proverbs to judge other people, you don't have any wisdom and you don't want any wisdom. One must accept that God is the ultimate in all wisdom, and He alone understands precisely the interpretation of it. The Bible is the source of wisdom God has given to us. See, it was written by His Spirit. His Spirit will lead those to whom He gave the new birth to understand it if they meet the following two requirements. But without faith, it is impossible to please. In order for God to give us wisdom, He puts forth two requirements that are a preamble, our precondition to being able to obtain wisdom from him. And you can't obtain wisdom unless this is true. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You believe that He is. You believe God is His Son. That's the first prerequisite. Here's the second. That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you seeking to know God's wisdom? Are you seeking to know Him better than you know Him now? Is there inside you an awareness that there's more to this than you thought? And that the more you hear the Word preached correctly, and the more you study it for yourself, that there's a reward from God for it? And do you believe that? I want the reward. And I diligently seek Him. Lord, if there wasn't any reward, that's fine. Lord, I just wanted to know what this God, who I've known for all these years, is like. I just want to know what He's like. And the more I've learned about Christ, the more I have understood what God is like. And there's nobody, no one, nothing like Him. I have never known anybody, and there is nobody like Him. He forgives me of all my sins, picks me up when I'm depressed, lifts me up when I'm down. I don't go to any of you for comfort. If you give me comfort, I thank you, and I appreciate it. But I learned the source of my comfort. It's God. I don't go to Imogen for comfort. If she gives it to me, I appreciate it, and she does. She's a marvelous, wonderful wife. But I've gotten to know Jesus a whole lot better. And I'm not a holy man. I'm a sinner who's learned how much Jesus loves him and how much He forgives. If you don't think that's wisdom, you don't know anything about wisdom. I never knew how much God loved me until He called me to pastor this church and literally forced me to get to know Him by presenting God's Word to you. That's wisdom. I've learned about Jesus. Now, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 12. And it's 5 minutes till. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. How many of you, when you first came to this church, all those many years ago, how many of you had heard that preached and they said, oh, we can't understand the things that God has waiting for us now. And one day we'll understand it, but we just can't understand it now. You're looking at one right here. And I heard it all my life. But I asked God to give me understanding and wisdom and discernment. And I read the whole cotton-picking verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know what I discovered in the context of this verse? And I bow before God, stand before man, knowing I'm a sinner at the judgment seat of Christ. And I've told you this for 31 years. That's not talking about a spiritual eye, a spiritual ear, or a spiritual heart. It's talking about a carnal eye, a carnal ear, and a carnal heart. Because you go on down in the context, read it all the way down to the end, and you'll discover he's distinguishing between those who are lost and carnal and cannot understand, and those who are not willing to seek him after they are saved. You can know what's waiting for you in heaven if it's a spiritual eye, a spiritual ear, and a spiritual heart. But the carnal man cannot understand a blinking thing. And that's why there's such poor preaching in churches that believe in you can lose your salvation. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak. Now notice what it says in verse 14. I'm going to close. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How many times have I asked God to give me discernment, wisdom, understanding? Every night. Maybe once in a while I may forget. Maybe something pressing and I may forget. But God gave me the wisdom to understand that verse of Scripture, just like he has a lot of other Scriptures. And through those verses, I got to know what Jesus is like. Do I know everything about him? No. As Maxwell Smart used to say, about that much. But that's a whole lot more than I used to know. And the more you know about him, the better life is. And the more you've got somebody to go to that you know you can trust. People think sometimes that I'm not much of a visitor, I'm not much of this, I'm not much of that. And you're right. But I've got a little bit of wisdom along the way. I just keep teaching you about Jesus. And pretty soon you start learning to run to Jesus with all your problems. And he'll lead you the right way. God knows I'm a nincompoop. I may lead you the wrong way. But if you need me, I'm here. I'll help you. But the Bible and the one who wrote it, Jesus, can help you a whole lot more than I can. Well,